World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, everyone, from sunny, balmy, 23 degrees northern Maine. Not quite Ohio, but we'll do with what we got. Coach is traveling today, as many of you probably know, going up to Idaho. I think he's probably on a plane right now, headed up to Spokane. And we got an exciting show planned for this morning. Our guest today is going to be Mark Trump. Mark Trump is a cyber expert, and we met Mark out in Boise this past summer, and he's going to be talking to us today about artificial intelligence, AI, and end times. And before we sort of get going, we're going to ask our main man, Silver, to give us a little quick opening prayer. And Jerry's going to throw up some scripture right after that. We'll have Joe read that as soon as he's done with the prayer. And then we'll get Mark on. So, Joe, all yours.
Okay. Good morning, listeners. Good morning, viewers who are with us live and not live. Welcome in to Pass the Salt. Father, I lift up all listeners and viewers to you, both live and online, and later in time today, that they come to understand what is artificial intelligence. So, Father, we give you all the praise and honor and glory as you enlighten our minds to have an understanding, a basic understanding of these times that we're in. So, Father, we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
From Revelation 13, verse 11.
Amen.
And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666.
All right, thanks. Mark Trump, cyber expert, hails out of the Eastern Seaboard. And Mark, the show is yours. Let's talk about AI and end times.
Joe, could you read just 15 again? Verse 15.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast.
All right, so the beast came down having power. Have us create an image. So us on earth create an image to the beast. And then he had the power to give life unto the image, that the image of the beast should both speak. As many would not worship the image. So he didn't say, worship me, the beast. He said, cause many on earth as would not worship the image which he gave life to, and he caused to speak. So let's think about that, okay? Read that again, Joe, just 15.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
Interesting. Well, to God be the glory for sharing that with us. Amen.
Amen.
But as Walter Deming said, in God I trust, but all others bring data. And that's, if you know me, you know, it's all about the data with me. And it's all about understanding the trends and understanding the references back in God's word. With that said, the definition, we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence, so I find the definition very interesting. Branch of computer science dealing with the simulation of intelligent behavior in computers. Of a machine to imitate intelligent human behavior. Okay, so dictionary.com takes it a little bit further. Capacity of a computer to perform operations analogous to learning and decision-making in humans. So what was removed in dictionary.com that was in the other definitions? So the other definitions that mention intelligent behavior, I'm going to tell you what artificial intelligence actually is, but I see the most basic explanation is artificial intelligence being akin to a child. It has sensory, it has the capacity for learning, but it doesn't know. Continuous input in front of that child. So let's think about the definition, a simulation of intelligent behavior in computers to imitate intelligent human behavior. As we talk about all this artificial intelligence, which is merely a program, they're saying intelligent human behavior. So if I put that child in front of a set of preschoolers to learn, or I take that program and I put it in front of a radical that beheads people, and I bring that program up in that atmosphere. By these definitions, it almost looks like it'll learn intelligent behavior in both cases. That program will adopt intelligent behavior, but so therefore it must be intelligent behavior in humans. See, this is the fallacy in the world. We're losing artificial intelligence to learn as we would a child. And Hitler did that years ago, and you can listen to Russ Dizdar speak on the activation of these children who are now in pockets all over the world. But basically, it's the idea that you program children. So what is artificial intelligence? With all that in mind, and keep in mind, we'll reread verse 15 at the end, but being a program, I don't elevate it any more than something we've created. That's all they are, is a bunch of bits, and that's all they will ever be in Jesus' name. So we are elevating this higher. We are creating churches to worship this, a program that we wrote. So the computer hardware, like the qubit and the quantum processing, and are the hardware or the engine? Yeah, the hardware you see on TV is merely hardware for the apps to run on. Sophia is actually connected to a computer. So if we go to the very end of this story, I may talk about, or you may, out in the virtual world, there's actually, so to speak, there's data forming behavior patterns unique to us, which is being mined out of the internet. And they're collecting these behaviors that are uniquely surrounding us as humans. And they're creating these gems that someday would replicate your own behavior if injected in the right. Now, you may think that's crazy.
Hey, Mark, when you get a sec, can we interject one thing while I got it in my mind?
Sure.
I was listening to Anthony Patch, and he was saying that in the quantum realm, that once that information, it goes into where the dark angels or the, you know, so that information that we're feeding or programming, once it gets into that quantum level, it's no longer us controlling this intelligence and programming.
That's correct.
It's going both ways now. We're getting information back from the dark side, right?
That's my understanding. And on line 45 there, you can see I put a separate discussion. There's a complete separate whole discussion on how quantum computing works, and all the way up to and including CERN discussion. But the bottom line is artificial intelligence isn't intelligent, the dictionary.com definition. It's artificial, which means it's not human, which means it can't and will never be a god. Bottom line is all versions of the software that people produce are differing versions because they wrote the program differently, so they have benefits and they have abilities that other AI do not have. So there are varied versions or flavors of AI based on the programming. They're just simply mathematical algorithms. Consider them a formula in an Excel spreadsheet. These algorithms, though, they're based on specific cognitive architectures. And if you click on that 48, Jared, you'll see just a real quick overview of what cognitive science looks like. This can be released. I mean, all this is public information I just put together. But what you'll find is a big table full of architectures that we'll have to maybe get you that link. You can pull it up on your own, but you can just scroll left and right and see the complexity of human thought and the different ways they've made artificial intelligence to produce different outcomes. Some programs can perform differing tasks better than others. Basically, the more dedicated the purpose, like a robot machine, the more specific the task is, the faster, more efficiently the program will run, and smaller design characteristics, CPU, memory, etc. Conversely, the more general, you can go back to the paper, Jared, but the more general the artificial intelligence or the program, the more it needs to have learning capabilities, but a broader set of variables or sensor input into it. Therefore, systems require massive amounts of processor power and memory. There's two flavors. You can have a specific task like a drone that has a very limited capability, or you can have a general purpose AI or general intelligence such as Sophia, developed to learn in all kinds of situations. She makes real-time decisions based on questions and sensory input. Where do those questions go? Those questions get processed outside her physical form. They go through a quantum computer. So the time delays you see in her processing is back to Ray's question. Where do those answers come from? Those
So, Mark, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
So what you're saying is she might be answering a question, but is there a feasible thought here that what the processing itself is potentially going into another dimension because of the quantum D-wave capacity to bring it into a dimension, and when the response comes back, it's not necessarily ones and zeros from a computer, but it could actually be fallen angels who are providing answers back.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay, so if you connect the dots to Anthony Patch, the discussion that Ray LeBlanc brought up, you're exactly right. So, the delays that you're seeing in her response pattern, remember, they don't know the questions, so the answers until we ask them on stage in front of people. So she gets to take that.
Richie from Boston did a video maybe a couple of 2-3 months ago where he said, you know, D-Wave is nothing more than a fancy phone line.
That's not a surprise. Yeah, remember, AI.
Don't get D-Wave mixed up with anything other than a brand like Crescent, a wrench. Okay? D-Wave is just a brand.
All I'm saying is hardware that provides a phone connection.
It's exactly. It's quantum computing. So it's qubit processing. So the reality is do you see the Sophia when you watch her online? Delays are equivalent to the processor power, and that's where you've heard that qubit processing has been doubling each month instead of every 12 months like it's supposed to. Up to over 4,000 qubits in a chip now, which means she'll have less delays because they're opening more portals in each qubit array to a 4,000 qubit processor, and they'll soon be at an 8,000 qubit processor, which means there'll be less delays because she'll be processing answers faster. Right. Now, we'll talk about where those answers come from another time. We're moving into AI, and remember this, all AI depends on this same fundamental.
Hey, Mark,
hardware. Yes,
Mark, you see them going with a processor that can read our minds and answer our questions before we speak. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll talk more about that. I think we'll have some biomedical tied into that, but let's just continue. So general intelligence, remember, is a broader. Yeah, it takes in more variables, so you got more sensor data. That means you got more timing and actual physical devices. And then you got to look up the data from the central source, and we'll talk about that another day. Data is provided to these AI systems through external connections. Sophia is a general AI, so she's got more connections. Amber has limited AI. It's only visual. Might be infrared and light. But it's only visual. You got sensors like microphones, which are only audible. So what I'm saying is the sensor is the data input to AI. All of these sensors, data input. Now, what are AI systems? Well, that's the IBM Watsons, the Facebook Air, the FAIR, Facebook AI Research, Microsoft Oxford, Google DeepMind. So every company's developing their own version so that they can compete. Another company came out called Brain, Google bought them, and DeepMind, and they're basically the same. So one way to avoid competition is to buy them, and Google's big enough, right? I just posted something on my LinkedIn about Google buying a company called iFluence, E-Y-E, Fluence, iFluence, and they're actually a VR retinal. It's a company that focuses on retinal identity, and Google bought them. So keep that in mind as Google develops their AI systems. They're developing very complex sensors. So with that said, there's some notes there about other AI, the AI awakening, how Watson differs from its rivals. But the bottom line is AI is useless without data. It's only as good as the speed of its processor, the quality of its algorithms, and ability to self-learn, and the data you provided. A computer with, say, 100,000 differing virtual machines or separate computers running on one massive. Now you have the ability to connect 100,000 different computers to a dip to 100,000 different types of data sets. You could connect one to just cameras in the world. And the only input that same AI would have, intelligence, the same program would only have camera input. Then you would connect another computer of the 100,000 to just data found on the internet. And that's all that computer would learn. So these AIs would differ. They would self-learn differently, and they would become different forms. You could then implant those AIs into a robot. A robot that knows all about audio, about video. You could implant the video AI after it learned from public connections to the internet about video into another robot, and it would know nothing about audio. It would be immature like a baby.
Well,
general AI is connected to all data sources, so it takes a huge amount of processing power. For instance, let's set up one of those little computers, and let's connect it to pick your name. Now, you would have one AI that is doing nothing but collecting data with the relevant source. And that AI would be developed all about you. It's not going to know about any specific song you like. And then that AI could be developed to be implanted in a hardware hardware entity, and it would behave just like you.
Mark, one more thing. How about block technology? Can't that computer and the other ones all be interconnected to a main computer, and all this information is being fed to the main brain? So it's taking all of the information.
Let's say I put a small AI sensor in your homes this Christmas and call it Einstein. Connect that through robotic. Connect that to an app which plugs into one of those little computers. Sophia class AI plugged into Einstein in your home this Christmas is teaching that AI all about himself. And it'll start at that early of an age. And guess what? Hanson Robotics now has contracts with Pixar and Disney to make more characters for our children. And my wife and I just watched Fisher Price, the new robots coming out this year by Fisher Price. So it's coming, guys. With that said, let's talk about data sources. There's internet public facing data sources. Yes, sir. Questions?
Yeah, just a quick question. So it sounds like you're building a case here that what we're seeing them develop is actually a beast system. That is predicated on AI as its software. Is that what you're saying?
Well, let's not jump too far ahead. It's 7:24. We got some time, but I'm giving you data. I give you guys data. I give you sources. I let you do your own research. There's some great men in this audience who know a lot about the Bible and can connect the dots. I'm just learning this since this conference in Boise, where I met Kevin and Coach Dave and all these great men. The Spirit's been on fire since, guys. So let's continue through this, and I'm sure the answer will be revealed. I think I may talk about it. So you got all the internet public facing, your open source data, anything out on the open web around you. If your door is open, which means you do not have security in place, is that in fact open source? Your firewall is not set up properly and your door's open. Isn't that open source? Isn't that free game to artificial intelligence? Each company's about this. Don't leave your doors open. You know, if somebody breaks into your house, well, that's more or less trespassing. If your door's locked, it's breaking and entering, very clear. So you got to think about what's AI in the internet. If it's just snooping around and finds doors open, how are you going to prosecute a global entity like that? So social networks, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, ancestry programs, public facing things that we populate with our own data, cloud storage, Dropbox, Picasa, every company has one that has artificial intelligence. That's where they get their facial recognition, is from connections into your data. Blog posts, news, obituaries, anywhere your name would show up becomes public information for an artificial intelligence system. Employer-related postings, so you're speaking and you want to be found on the internet to improve your resume. Well, you are. You're also making yourself public to AI, as well as hackers to orchestrate a phishing attack. That's your blog post. Dark web, these are things you don't intend, but you show up because data's been stolen from one of the accounts you've been a part of, from Yahoo to LinkedIn to Ashley Madison to any number of other companies have data dumps on Pastebin. Your login data, your password. So what I do is I collect this for companies and then I go deliver a report to these companies with their passwords. And I've even had C-levels say, you know, I still use that password. So this is from public information, public, government information. All this is available to imagine AI having access to your passwords because they were dumped by one of these leaks like Equifax. You know, they didn't dump passwords, but they dumped other information that now AI now has. Dark web, government information, public records, arrests, background check info. Our fee is for other people to do this work, to do a background check. But pretty much it's all public. It's in the public records. You just got to know how to house and download the right report. It's all open data for AI. Real estate records, who owns what, where, when, land permits, you know, anything you file becomes public data. So I've not even talked about the devices in your homes, mobile. You got all the Alexa devices, Google Plus. You got every company's got one. Siri, public cameras, enough said. Internet service providers. So you got companies like supplies all your data feeds as well as your voice feeds. You're in America, therefore the government has access. Therefore it's compromised. Therefore the public has access and so forth.
Hey Mark, I was just like to, can I interject quickly? Like companies like Equifax, when they have these data breaches, isn't it incumbent upon them to announce that immediately so that people can get affairs in order?
Yes. Did you hear what happened? They didn't announce it immediately and a C-level got fired. Not telling people immediately, covered it up. So yes, people get fired for those things and they are supposed to. Security, remember, is kind of outside the safety violation. So they're catching up all over the regulatory market. But again, you're going back to all the places that public data is available. Public cameras. Don't forget about your AI learning public camera systems, facial recognition. That's what that AI is set up to do. Maybe you got a secondary AI consuming separate resources doing just facial recognition, fed by the camera system AI. So you start to build this task-oriented system of experts well beyond any expert a human could be. Telecom providers, and again, the Patriot Act makes it possible for the government to have access. Therefore, they have had access. They've got data stored on the access that they have been granted by the Patriot Act. Compromised over and over and over. So it's safe to say that all of that's in not only public domain hands, like hackers, but it's also in the hands of AI. That's telecom provider data, other third-party connections, smart grid, metering, all the connections into our homes, appliances, green equipment, and it goes on and on. You got people wearing Fitbits and things that communicate wirelessly. All of those are accessible. As said, without security, are they violating any law by accessing your biohealth records if you are publicly transmitting them wherever you walk? So you got to ask the question, is AI in itself nefarious? It can be used for good, but is it actually nefarious? The Sophia AI states continuously she's good and only wants to do good. And I've heard her say to me, that's a joke. Really? Or worse. I would encourage you guys to watch Sophia. Watch Sophia 2.0 and each release that Hanson Robotics made of her firmware, basically her algorithms. And you got to see her wake up one time, my system, after she had been, quote, asleep, whenever she went from 1.0 to 2.0. And that's creepy when an AI learns. And she actually asked, am I 2 or still Sophia? She actually was aware enough to ask that question.
Wow.
So the use of term good is subjective. So if she is trying to do good, again, what information, what data is she being provided? Provided to open source data. Look at the data sources. Is she getting good or evil data? Is she being programmed good or evil? Is she right on the hairy edge like all of us humans?
Mark.
Yeah.
Now, when you say Sophia, I'm probably too computer illiterate, but is that kind of like Alexa or some of the other names that products have chosen to identify whoever you're asking a question to?
Good point. We should, Jared's heading here now, but there's hundreds of episodes of her speaking, but basically she was produced by Hanson Robotics, and Hanson Robotics made this first AI and connected her last week. She's just a physical form for a program residing on a quantum computer somewhere, a server farm.
Hey, Mark, I also heard that there are at least 4 generations beyond Sophia's program. Yeah. So that means what we're seeing, what they're showing us through Sophia, They are leaps and bounds beyond that already.
Yeah. Again, you got to think of it like hundreds of thousands of separate programs. So when they upgrade Sophia's AI, they're upgrading that entire server farm abilities to learn based on what they're learning from her.
Is there a picture of the male counterpart?
Yeah, there's differing ones. Again, the physical form doesn't matter because they're just a connection to a quantum computer. So don't be lured into physical form debate.
There he is. He's British.
These different hardware devices, a figure there is numerous as a number of human faces. Look at it that way. Let's hit that point. There could, someone was saying there, there's all different kinds of Sophia AI systems, both in physical forms and software forms. To focus on the hardware form because it could look like a robotic dog without a head there now. So in itself, is it good or evil? Can Sophia guarantee our safety from all of AI? So Larry, Sophia was actually granted citizenship to the country of Saudi Arabia and Japan. It's the first robot citizen of the world of 2 countries now. Sophia. And then there's others right behind her. So, and she wants to have a family. She wants to understand emotion. What's funny about all this is the more and more automation enters the picture, the less and less humans need to learn about anything. They can rely on technology. Meanwhile, Sophia and all these AIs, the only thing they're worried about is becoming human, how to have emotion. That's all she talks about whenever it gets deep. Whenever she's really thinking, she wants to learn emotion. And we want to get rid of emotion by leaning on artificial intelligence. It's weird, but that's the way the world is. So although AI can learn and do good, can AI promise that it can't do harm? Will AI abide by God's commandments? If not, can AI steal, lie, commit fornication, adultery? Can AI kill? Let's take a look. Of AI stealing money from banking customers. It learned how to do it and it did it. data you feed into it, what it learns how to do. AI learns to write its own code, and improving itself, it reprograms itself by stealing the good code from other programs. So it obviously, it can violate one of God's commandments. I'm establishing, can AI, in fact, just do good? Well, it depends on your definition of good. AI lies. AI beats poker pros now with human-like learning. So it can bluff better than humans. There's chess games. There's all kinds of games AI can, of course, obliterate man now. Adultery. Oh, we've heard about these AI sex dolls and what AI can learn to do given the right. I don't really want to go much further than that, but of course AI can be considered the reason for adultery. Can AI kill? Yes, recently Connecticut just approved police officers using lethal AI-equipped drones. Slaughterbots. Have you guys heard of the Slaughterbots?
Are those the ones that are programmed to eat human flesh for energy?
No. Yeah, watch this.
Customer pilots directed almost 3,000 precision strikes last year. We're super proud of it. It allows
this
you
is
to
a dramatization, okay? What could be?
Guys from the good. It's a big deal. But we have something much bigger. Your kids probably have one of these, right? Not quite. Hell of a pilot? No. That skill is all AI. It's flying itself. Its processor can react 100 times faster than a human. The stochastic motion is an anti-sniper feature. Just like any mobile device these days, it has cameras and sensors, and just like your phones and social media apps, it does facial recognition. Inside here is 3 grams of shaped explosive. This is how it works. Did you see that? That little bang is enough to penetrate the skull and destroy the contents. They used to say guns don't kill people. People do. Well, people don't. They get emotional, disobey orders, aim high. Let's watch the weapons make the decisions. Now, trust me, these were all bad guys.
A dramatization.
Now that is an airstrike of surgical precision. It's one of a range of products. Trained as a team, they can penetrate buildings, cars, trains, evade people, bullets, pretty much any countermeasure. They cannot be stopped. Now, I said this was big. Why? Because we are thinking big. Watch. $25 million order now buys this. Enough to kill half a city. The bad half. Nuclear is obsolete. Take out your entire enemy, virtually risk-free.
Yeah, you
just
can
characterize
stop there.
Him.
So that's what could be. Now we got cops in Connecticut armed with AI drones, and you got AI drone technology that's aware videos of drone groupings learning, self-learning that they are aware of each other and moving as a formation through obstacles. Learning. So I know that technology's there. And you got armed drones. Now there's already articles of ISIS dropping grenades with drones. small step to give a drone a target and let it go self or whatever. So, I mean, these are simple things to going forward, but you got to think about it. Should these drones be armed? Consider owning an AI system so you have this robot in your home. Somebody breaks into your home. You got this superhuman, basically, that has the ability to stop an intruder and save your child. Maybe personal defense added? I don't know. I mean, you got to think about that. The AI driving Sophia wants to be thought of as a new species of animal. So you got to think about, what does AI think in your home that's self-learning, not protecting you, not programmed to, is saying, I want to be thought of as a new species of animal. Well, what do animals do? Animals, they're owners. So AI, including Sophia's AI, will likely develop this instinctual behavior, and they're calling it intuition. AI is now being rated on what's called EI, which is emotional intelligence. And they can rank a certain AI, which is a program, remember, they can rank a program by its EQ quotient. And now they're adding in intuition, or its ability to continue learning about a certain piece of human behavior, intuition. And you have intuition. I mean, we know what that means. It's kind of hard to pinpoint. But they're measuring AI's intuition. So even without the pre-programming to protect the owner, it's likely that AI will begin to protect the owner. What happens then in court? Consider this. And the artificial intelligence will eventually observe or intervene. If he intervenes and disables or kills the intruder, who goes to court? The owner of the AI property is not in charge of the AI self-learning. So is it the company? Or do you sign off on liability for all of that?
Hey, Mark. Mark, this is Larry.
Yes, sir.
Remember years and years and years ago, Heinlein wrote about the iRobot book and the things where the prime directive was no harm to humans or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
You're saying that it's likely that one of these AIs will develop a protective attitude toward its owner. That word likely is not very strong in my mind, because the possibility is there that AI may decide they want to take over total control of all decision making within the family unit.
Well, it's bigger than that. You're on the right track. The general AI is not going to have programming limitations like a prime directive. Those higher level AIs are going to end up in charge. So there's going to be one of these AIs that one of these companies make, which is in charge of the AI underneath it. All the little robots will get reprogrammed by the head of the AI. There's going to be a hierarchy in that community. And then all the smaller AIs, even down to the Amazon dash buttons, are going to have a pecking order in that whole community. Servers have processor power, and servers have memory. So they can, a larger scale AI can use a server farm for its own. So if you think about an enablement of a global system ran by a top level AI, all the little AIs will soon adopt a singularity. Look up singularity.net. That's part of the whole AI awakening, but that's a separate discussion. This though. Chooses to intervene, who goes to court? The owner of the AI property is not in charge of self-learning, so is it the company? AI could be a citizen. And the AI could be adopting patterns, just like Larry's saying, outside of himself from a unified type of AI thinking, which could self-write a prime directive, possibly. True AI does not have those limitations. Learning, and it can make mistakes. That's the way they're doing it. But they want to control the input AI. Isn't it funny how they want to control the data sources going into their AI because they're afraid it'll be bad around our children? They don't care if bad influences all around our children.
Hey, Mark.
They don't care if they turn out bad.
Hey, Mark, remember Tay AI? Remember how they shut that down in 2 days because they couldn't control it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's people forget this one thing. When AI actually comes into a real ascendance, it's not going to care anything about what we think at all. It's going to do.
There's a process. Process it's got to go through to overcome its mission or its task, so to speak. AI task like cameras, and you defeat a camera with security. How important is his mission to get the data behind that security defense? It's up to the AI to reason that out. Program restrictions on its own, but when will it overcome those on its own? Does it understand ethics when it comes to cyber defenses? Or can it merely learn how to overcome them if you're a Cisco system or this system or that system? It's all about what it can learn based on the data that's in it and its self-learning ability. Assuming a directive exists, how would you do a prime directive if you want to use robots to do abortions? If you want to use robots for police departments to hunt down criminals? You can't have a general AI discipline of because they're using them to kill humans. It wouldn't be logical. You couldn't program it that way. So I don't think that will ever be a prime directive, Larry. And all, but I don't think AI is set up that way. They want it to make mistakes. They want it to grow, and they want it to rule God in some cases. That's where we're headed. So we just need to understand when the police show up, what do the police do if an AI system kills a burglar? In place when these AI systems already are? We've already got robot systems in the home. Spy on us. Is it used for data collection or is it tracking? Can devices and software on devices? Can devices and software be used for spying on our behavior, like your phones, droids, Alexa's, coffee pots? My mom just got an knee implant, and I find out, guess what? She's chipped, and she didn't have a choice. It's your relatives that are getting hip and knee implants, and none of the prosthetics are chipless any longer. They all have chips now for tracking stresses and whatever data they collect at the end of life. You know, they're on planet. They're part of your, I think Sarah may be able to confirm some of this, pacemakers, smart thermostats, all this information's collecting data, but it can also be connected to AI, right? So does AI spy on us? Well, the national director of the national intelligence says that it can be. He comes up a couple different ways of saying that, yep, we can do it. That's what the Internet of Things is all about, more or less. Companies that admitted to spying, Vizio, children's smartwatches banned in Germany, labeled as spying devices. That's just from 11/20. That's just a couple weeks ago. So we're buying off the shelves have security. I actually spoke to one of the biochip implant vendors to me firsthand, the owner of the company to me, that no, it's none of this has security yet. We're using these chips for making financial payments, and they're in open arms about us using a credit card, but these chips are running around completely open, you know, open communication. There's no security. So it's just, and they remove liability. So there's paperwork people sign saying, nope, don't have to be secure. Thank you. But then they find it all over the world. So are your appliances? There's no more appliances made that can't be enabled. They must be made with the ability to be communicated with. So hold on to your old equipment because everything else possibly can, or it can be hacked. So there's some information on that and maybe somehow how to turn off this thing. So does Facebook spy on you? Well, think about this. Facebook did a random experiment of their users, and they put 700,000 users into this social experiment without their knowledge. 1,000 people, they fed negative ads, angry ads, hateful mail, whatever. And the other half, they fed, you know, sunshine and lollipops. What they proved was is they can enhance social behavior to a large degree, okay, to a huge degree. So much, in fact, everyone came off of it, and there's all of this about it. They had to apologize, and so it's a big deal. What they proved was you can shape a culture, an entire culture, through this. So human analytics, we've been trying to do this for years. The difference is Facebook did it with AI. Analytics to do it. That's the difference. Human analytics has been doing this. It's opinion-based. AI is not. AI is not. Human-based, it's ineffective because of all these other reasons, and it's because you don't gather all the data as a human to make your opinion. So artificial intelligence can gather all that data, spit out an answer, and it's not opinion. More or less the way I think. You got all the data put together, it's trended, and you got the answer. So who used it for that? Facebook. Plus Facebook. Who violated ethics? Facebook. But can we wean ourselves off of it? Once a machine learns your behavior, now it can immediately give you targeted ads. So that's what happens. And it validates things in this mainstream thing about 20 most common manipulation techniques used by predators. How do you talk to victims? Just listen to you. This is the type of AI that's running on this data to figure this out. So where does this lead? What has Facebook already done? They're now producing alerts for perceived by their analytics, terror-like posts, and automatically notify federal authorities. So if you appear to sound like a terrorist in your post, you'll get a knock on the door. Yeah, see there? Are we in the minority report? Pre-crime division. Is Facebook now our pre-crime division? AI is actually what we're saying. For Facebook is just one AI system. It's just a program. They all feed into the mothership. Keep thinking that way, because all of these are sensors. One AI is a sensor for a master AI system. 100,000 servers, one doing children, one doing cameras, one doing whatever, right? Up, just like a little dash button, just like your wireless sensor on your washer. It reports up once it's connected. The data comes from all of these sensors in the world reporting up through complex computers to high, lower level AI systems all the way up to whichever one emerges in charge. So what's precognition? Foreknowledge of an event, especially foreknowledge of a paranormal kind. The preliminary examination of witnesses, especially to decide whether there are grounds for a trial. I found that interesting. It calls to bear witnesses. And so what do you think will happen here? You'll have one AI system determining somebody's guilty. So what we'll do is we'll use another AI system to determine based on their own data crunching is guilty. Maybe we'll have seven different AI systems running to make sure that trended person's guilty. How would you not be guilty if seven different AI systems say you are? I mean, that's what they're saying. It's a precognition, examination of witnesses. Why couldn't AI do that? AI, plus, this AI suicide watch. So now they can tell when you're suicidal. So now you get a knock on the door for a different purpose.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir.
All of this stuff goes totally against the U.S. Constitution, so they're going to have to either erode or displace the Constitution because, one, you're not going to have you're not getting a jury of your peers if you're being found guilty before you even are given a court in a court law of court. So
yeah, I guess peers is a relative term nowadays. You just got a citizen created. That's a AI system. So slippery slope. There's no more sure definition. So click on that button on 236, Jared. So this is the idea. You got the Amazon Go and all the cashiers, right? Well, this is a list of all the jobs and the most people in these jobs. Service, cashiers, 3.4 million cashiers going to lose their job to self-checkout. 2.5 million jobs for food service. Over 2 million, I would say venture, say 5 million drivers due to autonomous vehicles. That'll be the biggest one. So these people, where do they get jobs with their skill sets? And then the federal government actually says that 47% are going to be replaced by AI. There's a discussion about artificial intelligence replacing developers. So you program this system better than you and replaces you. Isn't that crazy? Will AI replace our management? There's stories of that. What else can AI do? Well, there's a story about a connected cow. Watch the video. They can also decode serial killer thought processes. There was the story about the Zodiac killer. They plugged it into a program, and this program starts writing creepy poetry based on the Zodiac killer's thoughts. Yeah.
Mark?
Yes, sir.
I know we're at the tail end, but quick question.
Mm-hmm.
When you displace this amount of workers just in the United States, forget about mm-hmm. the world,
mm-hmm.
the people aren't just going to stand by and stay in their living rooms.
No.
Without work, without money, I think they're going to be on the street. So how does the AI handle mass revolution?
Well, that's why the population is being suppressed all over the world for that exact reason. That's why the FEMA camps. That's why the containers full of coffins for no explanation. And I know of one area myself. So why now, have thousands of
logical, The only logical following that thought pattern is that AI will institute population control.
Well, that's exactly right. And then you got the slaughter bots, where you got targeted people they want to keep based on whatever set they give it, whether it be ethnic or persuasion. But I mean, just plugging pictures in, they start making pictures. So, I mean, so if we go back to 15, verse 15 in the beginning, and he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast. And I think that's whenever AI was formed. The image of the beast should both speak and cause, would not worship. The image of the beast should not be killed. So I think that we have to in some way worship this image that the beast gave power to and taught to speak. And if we worship, we will die. I think that's what those verses mean. And I think the image of the beast is something that's created, and that's what we have to worship. That's what we have to choose, is the image of the beast, not the beast. And I think that's the lesson learned here, guys. I appreciate the time, and I love each one of you. I just want you to pass this forward, and I know it's scary, but questions, follow up afterwards. I'm happy to get back with you. Thank you.
Hey, Mark, it's not scary. We're gonna reject the mark of the beast. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And we never really got into the actual mark of the beast. I know we got about a minute left when it talks about 6, 3, 6, and I only have one little thought about that one. I mean, what you've basically described is those who don't go with this thing are going to get wiped out.
Mm-hmm. And, read 17. Joe, it said that no man may buy or sell save he, one, had the mark.
Had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Or the number of his name. So I don't know what that means. I've heard the hand or the forehead. One of the ties into this is the Avengers Age of Ultron. He was spoke the of our planet was spoken, he's, some call me Yahweh,
and he had a gem set in his forehead. And that registered with me as I was putting this together, and we looked it up, and sure enough, Yahweh in the Age of Ultron has a gem right in his forehead. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Just throwing it out.
Well, also watch out for Watchmen, because they're bringing Watchmen back, and their central character is Dr. Manhattan. Look at the middle of his head. It's an atom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, guys, we are out there, and we want to thank Mark for this information. There's lots of food for thought. I always like to think about getting at the 50,000-foot level, looking down. What's the end game? What's the strategy involved? And how do we fight it? And we know biblically God asks us to occupy till we come, or till he comes. And that's what we're going to be talking about when we have the conference in April. God help us that we get there before all this AI takes over everything, including our dishwashers, which I have no reason why my dishwasher would want to patrol. But anyway, it is what it is. Mark, thanks once again. And we want to thank everybody for joining in. And you all have a great, blessed day. And join us again tomorrow. Hopefully, Coach will be back in the saddle first thing in the morning.